Well, I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. God is so good. He's so very good. He's so faithful. We only have to look over our shoulder just a couple of inches to remind ourselves of his faithfulness in the past. And as we look ahead, we're almost nose to nose with his faithfulness. He is a faithful, faithful God, and he will see his promises through. God is not man that he can tell a lie. His word is strong, it is mighty, it will be activated when he speaks it because he is God. It is his authority, his power that the word stands on and moves from. So when he tells us, I will if you will, he means it. He's not just checking on us to see if we will play the game. He really, really means it. He wants to do this for us more than we could ever, ever want or think we need him to do it. And we're just so thankful. He's such a good God. Did I say that already? He's such a good God. I know you love him too, but boy, I sure love him. Tonight, I'm going to share a couple things with you. But I want to start out by saying to those of you who sent me letters and cards and so on and so forth, thank you so much for sharing my birthday with me. I've been in the ministry for 40 years, and I've over 40 actually, and I've just never experienced anything like I experienced this weekend. As I read your cards, I read every one of them. I wept. And this is why I wept. I keep on keeping on because I believe so completely in the call that God has placed upon His church for union. Union with the beloved. I believe in it so completely that no matter what I go through, to deliver this message to the church, I know I can't stop. I cannot stop because people have to hear his heart. If they can't know him because of the closeness of proximity to his heart, they have to hear it from someone. And I can promise you, I delight in sharing his heart with the church. So few people do. We all have messages, you know, but mine's more than a message, it's a call. I'm calling you. The Lord once told me that the message of the mature prophets is to call the bride to her groom, out of the world and to her groom. That is our message. It's supposed to be our message. And I delight in giving it. And I delight in giving it because I am no longer in the world. I know if you look at my person, you think, oh, you're cute. That's really cute, Nita. But I'm not in the world. I am in him, Galatians 2:20. And that is a huge, huge difference from the average Christian. It's even a huge, huge difference for most mature Christians. But for those who have really paid the price to die, that he might live in us, that's the way it is. And we really are not in the world. In fact, I don't want to do a message on this tonight because I have something else I want to share with you, but I will just say this. It became so real to me when Elizabeth and I went shopping, grocery shopping, and were in a Whole Foods because it has organic food, so we like to go there. And all of a sudden, I realize I am in a bubble. I can literally see it. I could touch it if I dared to reach out and try to do that. But I could see it. It was huge. And there I am. It reminded me of that movie, the biographical movie that was made on the little boy in the bubble. His story was so sad, but the story of those who have gone into union is such a happy story. And we are locked in a divine bubble. And this bubble affords, at any given time, whatever kind of protection God wants it to afford. Now, if he needs to do a work in the believer that is locked into this bubble, he will make a little hole, if you will, a little window or a little door, so that darkness can get in, but it's only allowed to be there long enough to do what it has to do to refine the believer. And then back out they go. But to come in free random can't happen. So it is an amazing, amazing place to be. You feel protected. You feel comforted. You feel like you're precious to him. And of course, he is so precious to us, isn't he? But he's calling you to this holy place. He doesn't want you to stand on the outside looking in. He wants you to make the dart into the most holy place of this divine bubble that he has created for believers who have made that choice. When the times grow dark, those believers will be in their bubble, protected. So I really want to encourage you. It's a message. The message of union is the most sacred message. I believe that he has going into the body of Christ at this moment. Of course, there's always a sacred call to the unbelievers to come and be saved. But I'm talking about the message to the church. Come. Come and be a part of Christ. Walk in union with him. That's not just for everybody. It's not just for anybody. Anyone could. I guess I better be careful about how I say that. But anyone could. But most will not. But for those who are willing to pay the price, the door is wide open and he opens his arms to you and says, come, my people, come. Come into me and be healed. So praise the Lord. What people wrote to me this weekend is so much of it was about their own personal journey into union. And I just cried as I read it. It was so beautiful to me. I've spent decades pleading with the body of Christ. Trust me, this is wonderful. You don't want to run away. You don't want to stand at arm's length from him. Come to him. Come into him. Because he's beautiful. I don't know what else to say. He's beautiful. He's wonderful. He's amazing. He's awesome. And he's God. So thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your testimonies. I just can't tell you how deeply they touch both Ricky and me. Thank you. Thank you. And then I thought, you know, we should do this once a year where we just open the windows, so to speak, and let you throw your testimony in through the window in the mailbox so that we can see how you're doing, how you're growing, and how your faith is staying strong. I can't tell you how that pleases Jesus. He paid a mighty price for us, tremendous price. We can't begin to comprehend. And he did so out of pure, unfeigned love. So he's excited that you're excited about oneness being on its way. Your perseverance is noble. Don't let go of it. Okay, just a few bites of spiritual news. The Lord is dismantling his enemy. I promise you, he is. Whether you think he is or you don't, whether you think you're hearing it or you don't, he is doing it. And he's doing it behind closed doors. If you will continue to pray, you will hold victory in your hands, beloved. It is true. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, but you will not be shaken because you're holding fast to the love and the promises of your God. We are a team because of our love for Christ, abounding, unfeigned faith, determination to see America, one nation under God again. We will win. Isn't that wonderful news? That's the best news of all. Still in this hour, when Jesus talks to me about Trump, he calls him President Trump. He comes in and sits next to me, and he's got a message to me about D.C. or government issues. He doesn't call him Mr. Trump. He doesn't call him Donald Trump. He calls him President Trump. And I think we need to do that too. And then Jesus will heal America. It matters not what you see or hear. The only thing that matters is God's word. And his word is true. We can hide in it. We can stand in it. We can run with it. Hold fast to it. And know we will never be ashamed. We are going to have some dips in the economy, but it will be okay in the end. We will sing the praises of Zion again. You have gained an anointing, power, and authority through your faithfulness in this battle. Use it to his glory. Now I want to start sharing with you from his heart in tonight's message. What I'm going to be speaking to you about is divine love. Beloved, that is our goal. It's our goal in all things. Those who walk in divine love do so because they're living in union. You don't walk in divine love if you're not living in union. Why? Because love that powerful, that deep, that pure, it can't stay pure if it's filtered through your sinful nature. it's going to be corrupted. So not until he moves that thing out of the way can you walk in divine love. I can remember years ago, I have long prayed for revelations of the cross. I wanted to see it from every perspective he would be willing to show me. And that's a very bold prayer. I can't stand to see anyone suffer. It's so hard on me. I just am like a little kid. It's unbearable to me to see a human being suffer. But I've had this passion to know and understand the cross. I wanted to experience it, and I wanted to see it and understand it from every perspective. Why? Because I love my beloved. He's been there. Should I really not be willing to go there myself? I didn't know when I started praying that prayer that so much of what I want in God, I cannot have in God without this familiarity with the cross, this assimilation of the cross. By this cross, we are delivered from the world. We are delivered from the world of sin. It is the most wonderful of all revelations. I promise you, it's not Catholic. So don't even go there. It is pure love. I remember, as I started to say many years ago, when I first began praying for this blessing, I'm praying it with fear and trembling. Because I can't stand to see people suffer. And most especially people I really love, and even more especially my Savior. I'm sure you can all relate to that. But I'm standing beneath the cross. I'm looking up at the cross. I don't know how I got there. I just was suddenly there. The way he looked was so painful to me. Oh my goodness. I thought I was going to die of pain looking at him. Stripes, bruising, lashes and all. He just looked so bad. He looked so bad. My heart just broke for him a million times. Blood was dripping from his holy body. Now, I've retained the memory of this all these years, and I've experienced like situations many times in my Christian walk. One time the Lord was talking to me about this. And he said to me, you've seen my cross, you've seen me on my cross in so many revelations. Tell me, would you be willing for me to put you in a divine crucible? I said, no. No, I would not. I'm sorry, Lord. He said, so you do not want to assimilate the cross. No, I do, I do. But what you're asking is terribly frightening to me. And he grew quiet. Sometime later, he asked me again, are you willing to embrace the cross? And he had been doing a work on my heart from his first question to that present question. And with tears in my eyes, I just said to him, how can I say no to you? I know what you've gone through. I understand the suffering and the pain. How can I say no to you? I can't. Yes, if you have a cross for me to endure, that I might know you in your death and your resurrection, yes, I will go through it by your grace. But I've got to know that your grace is going to be there because it's too scary. And he said the most wonderful thing to me. I was so shocked. He said, saying yes to the cross, Nita, takes a miracle love. And it shall be. And then he was gone. Well, I've had many crosses over the years, many. He's never, ever allowed any cross of suffering to come upon me without my permission. That probably sounds kind of funny to some people. But he's been very much a gentleman to me. He always asks if I will embrace this or that cross. When the major cross, when it was time for it to come, I was in my car driving onto the freeway, and a few people who are part of my staff was with me in the car. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, it's time for death. It's time for you to go through death and come through in resurrection. Prepare. So I told everyone that was in the car, I think there were about five of us, what he had just spoken to me. And someone said, what? And I repeated what he said. And they said, well, how do you feel about that? And I said, let it be. I've been waiting for this for a long time. Some of those people are online tonight. 2018, I had that cross. I entered into it. Was it easy? No, it was very difficult. But his grace was there. His mercy was there. His love was there. Many times he came to me. I saw him many times during the course of the cross. He's a good God. Not only did he appear to me just standing beside my bed, or I might be on the gateway to heaven, and so that he could usher me back. But also, he spoke to me in many visions, trying to help me understand what I was going through and why. But the core of it was, it was the promised cross, one that I had agreed to many times over the period of many years, starting when I was very young. Now, being on the other side of this, do you want me to tell you, do I think it was a work of love? Oh, wow. Yes. Why? Because it freed me from the world. It absolutely eradicated my sinful nature. It freed me from the world. It was the kindest, most wonderful thing he could have ever, ever, ever done. He could hold me in his arms for a gazillion years. But if in the end I was not freed from the world and sin, then it would have just been a nice experience. But with the cross, you get delivered from the world, from the spirit of the world, from the sin of the world, from everything that speaks of that diabolical government, from Satan and all that he stands for. You are delivered from it. There are so many things he cannot touch in you, for you, or about you. Because now you belong wholly to Christ. That's why I was in that bubble. I'd gone through the eradication of my sinful nature, and now I'm his. Do I want that for you? Yes. Your cross will never be what my cross was, because I'm a forerunner. And the forerunners suffer more than those who follow. That's just the way it is. But would I tell you, oh no, say no to the cross? No, I would not. Because if that's how you have to get to freedom, liberty, and union with Christ, trust me, you want it. And you want it with all your heart, even though your flesh might quail at the thought of it. He talks to me about the cross even now, very much, and about love, very much. That is the highest order of a true Christian, is divine love. You can't walk there, you can't even enter there without humility. I can't tell you over the years how many times people have come up to me and said, well, I live in divine love. And I just know, because I'm a prophet standing in front of them, it's a nice thought, but it's not reality. And if I have a thought about talking to the pastor, do they know that person, and what kind of person do you see them to be? And there's never anything coming out of the pastor's mouth that resembles what that Christian thinks. So divine love is a wonderful thing to have. It's a wonderful thing to walk in. But you have to go through the eradication of the sinful nature to walk in it. Otherwise, as I already said, our sinful nature corrupts the love that he's putting inside of us. So here I am. I'm on life's journey into divine love. And he's teaching me truths about this divine love. And they're beautiful truths. And I'd like to share just a couple of them. But where I use myself as an example, please, please, please don't think I'm boasting. Please don't think I'm lifting myself up. The closer you walk with Jesus, the less able you are to be able to lift yourself up. There was a time about, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, 25 years ago, maybe, when Jesus took me for a walk. Our conversation kind of ran off the scriptures, so let's look at this scripture for a minute. Matthew 22, 37 and 38. And he replied to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart." And see, just even reading this much of this scripture, my heart is on fire. This scripture ignites the fire of God around my heart. Lately, every time I read it, it is so beautiful, so pure. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." That is your intellect. This is a great and most important principle and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. I think it's much easier for us to love God than it is to love our neighbor. Because our neighbor, we kind of know some of the weak points. And because we're so human, we often judge and condemn and criticize instead of love. But Jesus said that that commandment is as critical and noble as the first commandment. So he likes to teach me about walking in this love so that I'll recognize when I'm there and I will recognize when I need to go there deeper. So he took me for a walk to teach me about divine love. He said, Nita, divine love is first and foremost holy. It is holy love. It bears the very essence of my holiness. It is pure love, pure and undefiled. It is love that is sure, and the picture that he gave me was like a strong mountain. Things may come to shake our world, but his love is so sure. It really is like we're standing on or in a strong mountain. It's just amazing. I walk in this love. It isn't that love like the, you know, that you feel in the congregation where it's like ooey gooey, mushy, sweet. Oh, you know, tingles up and down. No, divine love, when it's in the believer that has been filtered from the world, is like a mountain. You feel that strength. You feel that, what word would I want to use? If you were standing in front of a mountain, like we have some of the most beautiful mountains in California. They're just absolutely gorgeous. But if you were standing in front of one of those mountains and you looked up, the snow is gone from the ground, but it's still snow-capped at the top of the mountains. You can almost feel the strength of that mountain. And that's how it is to walk in divine love. It bears a strength because it's the very essence of God. It's not mushy. It can't be pushed around. You can't push it around enough to get it to forsake truth. You just can't. So it's a wonderful, wonderful love to walk in. It's gentle. It's humble. It's long-suffering. And boy, aren't we glad that it is. First, it's humble. Christ himself told us that he was meek and humble. And this humility that he walks in, to touch the very depths of it, I have never known a human being that has. I haven't touched that place yet. I don't know any human being that has, whether they're in union or they're not. You have to go down, 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 very deep to get to that same level of humility. But when you get there, my dear precious sisters and brothers, when you get there, this is of a truth. When you finally get there, you are no longer cognizant of you at all. The only one you see and feel and know is Christ. Now, wouldn't that be a fantastic place to live? Yeah, I think so too. You're very wise, you know. It's kind. This love is kind. It doesn't like poking fingers in people's faces. It doesn't like saying unkind things to people. I once had a friend that was just the neatest friend in the world, but the one habit that this friend had was to find weaknesses in people and just pound on them a little bit every day to make the person feel bad about themselves. So one time he tried to do that with me, and I said, you really do need to stop. It doesn't magnify you, and it's not making me happy. And if you don't quit, then we will be very unhappy in two separate worlds, because I really don't like it. No, divine love is kind. It's kind. Even if correction has to take place, the correction does not come out of a critical spirit. It comes from love and kindness. It comes in gentleness. Holy love is sacrificial. Someone that walks in that love is very sacrificial. There's a more modern word that speaks of it, if I can remember it. Yes, it makes you altruistic. I'll let you look that up in the dictionary. This person is very giving. If you see a person who does a lot of giving, even to their own harm, that person is altruistic and probably walks in a fairly high level of love, even if it's not divine love. This person who walks in divine love bears the offense that may come its way in the spirit of meekness. They don't get huffed up, puffed up, start yelling and screaming at the person for being a nerd, rude, obnoxious, and all the things that we do. But this person bears the offense in meekness. It takes no account of a suffered wrong. It's trusting, always seeking to believe the best, and thankful for the least kindness. Now, all that I just shared with you is what the Lord shared with me on our walk. So you can imagine when he speaks, your heart just melts. And you just know that you've got to have this, like, right now. Please don't leave me, Lord, until you impart this. Because his words are so soft, they're so beautiful, they're so compelling. You want to be like him. You want to bear this. You just don't understand that he's got to chip away at some of that old granite to get to the middle of the heart where it's soft and tender. But if you want it badly enough, he'll make a way. He said, you appreciate the smallest things. If a little child brings you a little tiny cup of water, and that's the best they can offer. Love shines with appreciation over that gift. And that's how my father is, he said. All of these things that I've shared with you is the way of my father, the way of his love. When someone needs help, love will go the mile. My brother Dale, who is now with the Lord, one of the things that always amazed me about him is if he's driving down a highway or he's driving down an interstate and there's an accident in the road or off to the side of the road, he doesn't know this person from Adam, but he will always stop and see if he can help. Even if it means he's going to be late to his appointment, he would do that. And he saved many lives, believe it or not, by doing that. People who, you know, were out cold and would have had no way of contacting help, he did it for them, which ended up saving their lives. So we never know who we're dealing with or what we are bringing into the future by our kindness today. Love will withhold careless judgment and cover an enemy. Christ alone is judge. Seek to understand and restore. I can remember a battle that I went through several years ago. It was a very hard battle because I really love these people. I mean, I really love them. I didn't get angry over what they did. My sorrow was in I would miss them. Because, you know, some little gnat had bitten them and caused them to see things quite unrealistically. Nothing had occurred in our relationship of many years like that before. So it was very hard, and they ran with it with all their hearts because there was a spirit behind it. And as I was praying, I was weeping before the Lord. He suddenly appeared to me on his cross. And then I saw these people, this group of people, at the foot of his cross. And he let go of the sidebars and reached out his arms to cover, like as an umbrella, these people who were coming against me. And he just looked at me, his eyes filled with pain, his body looked terrible, just mutilated. And he said to me, "Cover them, Nita. Cover them in love and leave us in the Father's hand." So that's what I had to do. And I'm so glad I did. Those relationships have not been fully restored, although some of them have been restored. But the ones that haven't been restored, it is because they can't let go of the guilt they feel for what they did to me. And this is by their own words. We've tried to bring things back together and heal the relationships, but in the end, the guilt is just so great, they just can't do it. But I'm glad that I did what he said to do, because the minute I did, all that pain lifted. Oh, let me tell you how that happened. I just remembered. I was out walking along the beach in Florida, and I was in prayer about this experience with Christ on the cross. I'm walking along the beach, and I'm crying, and I'm saying to the Lord, "I will do it. Please give me the grace to do it now. And I will do what I need to do. I will not hold evil against these people. I love them. And moreover, you love them. Please intervene in my wicked heart." And immediately, Christ appeared to me. And he held in his hand a pretty large cross. So that's how strong he is. Pretty large cross. Not as large as the one he was on, but nevertheless, it was a heavy cross. He lifted it up into the air, and he said, "Nita, will you take this into your heart right now?" And I knew I couldn't even wait a moment. I had to say yes, and I had to say it now. And when I did yes, he rammed that cross into my heart. And when it entered my heart, I thought I was going to die of pain, which lasted about 30 seconds. And then suddenly, the pain was gone. All the pain that I had been in since the crises was gone. He had healed me by the way of the cross, by my willingness to humble myself in the midst. So I want to throw that out to you. You may not feel a cross going through your heart, all the better, because it's not fun. But the cross is there to heal you by the power of his blood. So we don't judge, we love, and we leave all judgment to God, because I can promise you there are things we don't know. There are secrets and mysteries we don't have about that person who's hurting us. So rather than judge and risk judging wrong, we don't judge at all. That's wisdom. Then he said, and this is a beautiful, beautiful word. Please write it down. Don't ever forget it. Love, holy love, does not consider the deed, but the need. Jesus said, search the depths to find the most wicked thing and love them enough to give your own life for their well-being. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus said, search the depths to find the most wicked thing about them and love them enough to give your own life for their well-being. And then next, when we were ministering and living down in NOLA for a while, I came across a man in a very dangerous part of NOLA, and he was homeless. I had one of my staff members with me. As we walked out of, I think it was a Lowe's store, we were remodeling the building we were going to be meeting in, or renovating it, actually. So we walked out of Lowe's, and as we did, this man grabbed a hold and said, please, please, please don't walk on. Please help me. Help me. I have no place to go. I have no car to drive. I have no place to go. Men stole my cars. They were thieves, and they stole my car. I have no place to go, and I have no car. And his body odor was terrible. I could hardly bear it. But the cry that was coming from his heart was so painful, it was worse than the odor. And I said to him, we will help you. And I told him the person's name that was with me. I said, he's on my staff, and he will help you. We will get you some clothes. We'll put you up in a hotel so that you can rest for the night, get cleaned up, meet with us tomorrow, and we'll see what we can do about getting you a job. The minute I did that, the Lord put in my heart the love that a person would feel for their own father. But it was a divine love for your own father that is in trouble. He's gone out, he's done wrong things, he's in trouble, and he needs your help. That's what drove my heart day and night. We actually let him come to work for us to help us renovate this building. And it turned out he was one of the most gifted men in the city for what he came to do. That was an amazing gift from the Lord for the chances we were taking. We furnished him clothes. We furnished him shoes. We even got him an apartment, purchased furniture for him. I went with him to buy some of this furniture, as did one of my staff members. And as we were walking into the furniture store, he wanted to go, number one, to select the furniture, but number two, he said, "You don't understand, it's not safe down here. You need to let me go with you." And so we walked into this furniture store, and the woman at the counter said, "Hey," and she called him by name. Well, it turned out she went to school with him when they were kids. And he said, he called her by name, and he said, "You've got to know this ministry. You've got to know this ministry. I can't tell you all that these people have done for me. They don't hate our race. They love us." And he went on and on, and I was feeling so embarrassed, and I kept saying, "Please stop, please stop. No, no, they want to know this. They want to know people like you." But look what love did. I didn't manufacture that love on my own. The Lord did that in my heart, so that when I would later hand him a picture of Jesus, who was painted on that picture as a man of his own race, he would see that picture and burst into tears, because that man knew that Christ was working through a Christian ministry to reach out to him in his need. And he gave his heart back to Christ. He told me when he was a child he gave his heart to Christ. But now he's giving his heart back to Christ. And he's standing there crying his head off. "I'm so sorry, Jesus. I'm so sorry. I got lost. I went the wrong way. I got lost. And now I know you'll take me back because I see the love in your eyes." Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing? God is so good. The truth is, there is no greater love than the love of Christ. There is no greater love but that a man would give his own life for a friend. And that's what Christ has done for us. And that's what, my dear brothers and sisters, we must do for others. And this next great move of God, we will see divine love being poured out like liquid. Gallons and gallons and gallons and thousands of gallons of it. There's not enough oil under the earth to compete with the oil that's going to be poured down from heaven above. And it will be poured into your heart to go through you to a lost and dying world. Let me pray. Father, we long for this love. We long for it. We want to magnify the Son who did it first. We long for it. We pray that you will give us this divine love. And Father, when you begin to pour this out to your church for the world, please let us be the first in line to receive it, that we may reach out to those who have never known your love. Help us to prepare for it. Help our hearts to become pure by your glorious touch and by the power of your blood. Help us to glorify you, Father, and glorify the Son who paid it all for us. We love you. We love you. In your precious name. Amen.